Wow, that guy sounded like he was pretty good.
I like that open.
Pretty good, that guy.
I like that open.
Teddy Bruschi being brought to you by a Yingling.
It'd be important to get open like that.
Game Day Brew and by Lowell 5. And ladies and gentlemen, the star you just heard, Teddy Bruschi, joins us live right here.
There he is.
Mr. Bruschi.
What's up, guys? How you doing? I worked hard to get it open like that.
Oh, good God, man. You ain't kidding, right?
All right. Well, we gotta,
that was awesome, man.
We got to settle something here. We just need an answer, I guess. It's not that we need to settle it.
Yes.
I remember this defense, blah, 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 milling around, hanging out.
Amoeba.
Are you going? No, you're going. No, I'm going. No, you're going.
Buffalo.
Yeah. I remember it being called playground. Am I right?
Okay, you're partially right.
That'll work.
Usually the case here, Teddy.
This is how packages get named over there. And seriously, this goes all the way back to when Bill Parcells was there. And I'm a linebacker that I don't know what a hook drop is from a wham block. And I don't know what I'm doing as I'm learning to play linebacker, but I still can do some things in terms of rush the passer and do those things for the defense. So Al Groh, who was the defensive coordinator then, back in 1996, would try to find a way to get me on the field. And towards the end of the season, as they started to figure me out, they named a package called Cactus. And it was Cactus because...
I went to
the University of Arizona, and when I came in and yelled Cactus, everybody knew what it was. So fast forward that the 2003, in that Buffalo game, when all of us were standing up, it was McGinnis, it was me, it was Pfeiffer, it was
Vrabel.
And because of the Vrabel influence and the control that he had in terms of making the calls, we named it Buckeye.
That had to hurt.
Buckeye. So, but I'm still trying to remember all this, and I'm listening to you talking about it early in the week and tweet about it, and I'm thinking to myself, Fife would know the answer. So I call Roman Pfeiffer, and we talked about Buckeye, and he said playground was actually a call within the Buckeye package.
It was a call when the edge rushers
had to peel on the running back, playground, making it easy for defensive players, of course, and that's the playground. So playground was in the package of Buckeye.
Wow, that is some deep internal information.
So let me ask
you,
Teddy, because some of the names you're mentioning, you know, veterans, right, who just sort of get it. The fact that they were able to do it and kind of turn back the clock yesterday, does that tell you something about where this front four is or the front seven as far as communication? Was that impressive that they show you something by being able to execute that?
Yeah, also trust from the coaching staff. When imagine yourself, Lou, in the game plan meeting early in the week, and you're thinking about putting a package together. And a lot of times defensive coordinators and defensive position coaches have a lot of ideas in terms of, hey, why don't we do this and that? Because these guys, you know, this is what we can attack. And it's just an idea that's so off the wall. And Bill usually a lot of times will say, no, they can't do that. And it gets shut down right there. So for them to bring this up and then Belichick also to say, yes, we can get that done. It does talk about a lot of the trust. It talks about a lot of, you know, the information that they have regarding this system, because I'm assuming within all of that, when you're all standing up at the line of scrimmage, well, you break the huddle and you know the call. That's only the beginning. Then it's like, yeah, okay, you got it. You're running the pick stunt. I'm coming outside. And then that all has to be done before they come to the line of scrimmage. And then while you're also moving to show disguise. So the defense, when I saw that too, I'm like, they know what they're doing in terms of front. They trust each other. The relationship is there. It was a very positive sign in terms of what they can do going forward.
Isn't this what the Patriots do, though? They scheme a lot more later on in the season. It seems they're vulnerable earlier in the year. Now you've got a huge sample of every play that everybody runs. And by the end of the year, coaching seems to prevail a lot more, Teddy.
Yeah, but it's not every year, because there have been seasons where I've been an analyst and I'm watching it late in the year, and it's very similar to what it was in the middle of the year, because they feel like they just have maybe one or two or possibly three guys that just don't get it. And so you got to keep it simple for them, and then we got to keep them here. He's got to play this position. We don't want to move him too much. If you give him a call on the run, maybe he doesn't get it. Is he a defensive end? If I'm a linebacker and I can tell him on a motion that now you've got the back, can that be done? sometimes that can't be done because those guys are just sort of just have that narrow focus of once I get the call, that's it. That's all I have to do. So it doesn't happen every year. So you're right, though, seeing it now, you know, in terms of what you'll see in the future and the confidence the coaching staff, B-Flow, can have in terms of let's throw some pasta up against the wall, you know, after 8 minutes and see if it's cooked, and then these guys will make it work.
So you have to dumb it. You have to dumb it down at times when you're saying that, right? Some teams can't do it. You have to dumb it down.
Some guys you do. Yes, some guys you have to. It's like, man, I wish we could do this, but this guy, he's got to play, and he just can't get that done.
Yeah, Lou and I do it on the show every day.
He can't think on the run. You know,
I was sitting there. As soon as you said throwing pasta on the wall, I think I've actually done that at least twice over the last week. Is that frowned upon in the Italian community? I'm curious. Anybody?
I don't know how much pasta I have behind the stove. My father would just take it out of the 8 minutes after boiling water. I said, Dad, what's going on? You see that right there?
That's done.
That's good.
Get the sauce ready.
Get the colander.
All right, so we've been talking about this a lot the past couple of days. The Patriots going down to Miami. They do not have a good record, at least once in the last five games down there. What is it that causes them to kind of brain fart, to hemorrhage, any good plays? Like, it just doesn't really make sense to me. And you can't, and you're not allowed to use heat as an excuse.
Yeah, I mean, going into the Meadowlands to go play the Jets, or Orchard Park to go play Buffalo, those aren't a couple of dates that you circle on is when the schedule comes out in terms of like games that you're looking forward to not playing. When the schedule comes out, players look for the bye. Everybody knows that. When's the bye? Is it early? Is it late? Is it well timed? I mean, I'll tell you the truth. When I got the schedule coming out, and a lot of us did, it was two things you looked for. It was when the bye was and when do we go down to Miami in terms of is it September and October? Or is it November, December? But, you know, it's just a place where they feel confident. And it's one of those weird things. I wish I could just say it was the weather, but it's one of those weird things where they play well. That defense used to play well versus that, but the rushers get to Tom a little bit more. When back then it was Jason Taylor. Now it's Cameron Wake. Robert Quinn is also there. The players just get up for that game when it's in Miami. And if you don't start fast in a game versus those guys, like say after the first quarter, if it's 10-7 or it's tight like that, it's going all the way and it's going to be tight because you give them that kind of life. It's just that divisional opponent that people say they don't believe it, that when you play in division, it's tough, but it is. And the Dolphins are just tough to play down there. I can give you some weather stories in terms of I've been in captain meetings to where, you know, we're sort of debating as to where, okay, do we go down there 2 days early so we get acclimated to the weather? You walk into the locker room, did they put us in our blue uniforms? You know, that type of stuff players would remember. I mean, that 50-degree shift it's going to be the 30s in New England now. I mean, it's going to be in the 80s up there down there in Miami. It's real. I hate to bring it up, but it's real, and players do recognize that, Christian.
Yo, Teddy, we've been talking a lot about Rob Gronkowski, and I think that game on Sunday kind of opened some people's eyes, in particular the Anthony Harris play, when they just seemed to run laterally for about 10, 15 yards and seemed like Gronk could not get an extra yard against this guy. What are you seeing from Rob Gronkowski? Is he injured or is he just a different player right now?
I know what play you're talking about. I think it was that third down before the two minute warning.
Yes.
Him not able to just go through that. I don't know. I didn't see it that way. Did I think it was just him trying to get possession of the football and him holding on to possession? That's interesting you bring that up. I didn't think about that with that play, but in terms of Rob Gronkowski, I mean, are the best days behind him? You know, I hate to say that, but I mean, he was so dominant years ago. I don't know if we're going to see that again. I think he can still be a threat to other defenses, guys. But you know, you're just going to have to wait and see. You know how he feels, because you get up in age. You know, in terms of there are different times when a player feels good in terms of my ninth year, my tenth year, and how long a career is. You know, I got 13 in, and on my 13th year, it was sort of, you could tell, you know, is it that time right now for Gronkowski? I still think, though, he can have that type of productivity that it had in the past. I mean, in these next two games to win out for the New England Patriots.
Oh, you're pointing to me, huh? I thought you looked like you were ready to go.
No, I thought you had a question.
All right, so it's been a while. It's been about 10 weeks since the Dolphins played the Patriots, right? So that after that, the Dolphins come up to New England. They're 3-0. They're feeling good. And we talked to you about it, right? It wasn't like they were doing anything crazy. They were just, you know, little screens that they would take, you know, 60 yards. So
I think that was Bitter Brew Day.
Was that Bitter Brew? Was that when Bitter Brew was born?
Yeah, you were tired of the Dolphins or something.
Yeah, we were talking about Tannehill.
Yeah.
And I guess his stats were incredible the week before. And
yes.
A bunch of push passes to the speedy receivers and things like that. That brought out Bitter Brew.
Safest pass in
league. Push pass.
So what's changed?
Oh, what's changed for the Miami Dolphins since then? I mean,
it's been a while.
Have the potential to do that type of scheme and things like that. I think Tannehill now is back. I mean, they have Kenyon Drake. I mean, they're not a threat in terms of. I mean, do I see the New England Patriots winning the football game? Yes. Do I think this can be a fourth quarter victory at somehow? My history down going down there to Miami, you know, it makes me not overlook this team because of how tough they can be down there. You can bring up all the threats that they have in terms of Kenyon Drake in the running game, things like that. Frank Gore running the football. But, I mean, this is a team the Patriots should beat. I mean, I don't know if they should beat them soundly. If they beat them soundly, that'd be a great victory for them, because I think all of the Patriots know in that locker room that it is legitimately tough. They're not blowing smoke when they talk about going down there as a tough place to play, because, I mean, it was September, October of 2003 when we won in overtime. And it was on a Troy Brown bomb. Oh, yeah, you probably remember that one. And it was in overtime. And we felt like it was like the Super Bowl, because it had been like 13 straight down there in September and October just to go down there and win. It was that type of sort of mind hurdle we had to get over. And so in the recent past, how they've played down there, I think those players know this is going to be a tough game.
Well, it also would be a big road victory, and they have not been good on the road. They're 3-3. So I want to throw this one out at you. The Patriots are probably, because of their experience, because of the quarterback, because of the coach, probably the most capable of going out in the road and winning a playoff game. But Christian still thinks they can go 11-5. And they're going to be okay.
Actually,
in the
hoping. I'm hoping they go 11-5.
He made
I'm
that
not
prediction
thinking,
at the
hoping.
Beginning of the year.
I want them to lose two more
I'm
games.
Not sure I buy that, Teddy, that they can go and do it, especially if they have to play 2 weeks in a row out on the road. How important is it that they get that top seed or maybe the second seed?
Guys, I think it's really important. I mean, based on this year, based on how they've played on the road, I don't think they want to sniff the road in the postseason. Do they feel like we just got to get it done? It's what we have to do. But I mean, for them to win out and get that number one seed, hopefully maybe the number two seed, and then AFC Championship game. If you got to go on the road and win, okay, let's do it. That's fine. Right now, this is not a good road team based on what they've seen, based on what we've seen this year. So. This would answer a lot of questions about in terms of, I think it's at Miami. It's I think they go to Pittsburgh after this one, then finish
correct.
With two at home, if I'm not correct.
That's correct.
Okay, so these two on the road, let's make a conclusion on the Patriots in terms of being a road team. I think these two games will tell us, because if they struggle on these two games in the road, then you definitely have to think that's just what this team is. You know, you got to think about, you know, the mentally tough teams, fellas, went on the road. So this is what I'm looking for this week in Miami.
Tay, I'll go back to that Minnesota game, because I don't know where you were with this Patriots team, but I still wasn't sure what I was watching or what this team was. And you know, getting everybody back healthy, seeing how they can get everybody involved. That game on Sunday, to me, kind of maybe changed my opinion. It was good for me to see. I thought that was a big boy win. Did that game Sunday change your opinion on all this team?
You know, not too much. I mean, once again, we're talking about mental toughness, and we're talking about winning on the road, and I'm stressing how they need to be in Gillette Stadium to win in the playoffs. You know, that's going to give them the best chance. But how they did against Minnesota, I like the way the defense played. I like them taking the ball away, things like that, and everything's great. How Josh Gordon, I don't think he didn't get a target, I believe, in the first half. And so you go into halftime and you see how Josh Gordon hasn't been part of the plan. And then offensively, you just say, okay, it's time to get it to flash. So they get it to him. He makes a difference. I like that aspect of it. because them actually having that extra dimension in terms of Josh Gordon to be able to say, we're not hitting it outside real well and we're not giving it to Josh. Now it's time we gave it to him, and they did it and it was successful and he scored and he was productive. Having that type of extra dimension, I thought was the best sign for me, seeing Josh Gordon come out of halftime in the second half and have the production he did.
Last one for me, Ted. Do you think Kareem Hunt's going to get picked up by anybody?
Do I think Kareem Hunt?
Yeah. Maybe definitely not,
not
this year. Maybe next year.
Waivers. Yeah, it's possible next year. I mean, you know how desperate a lot of these teams are when they just can easily say this is Kareem Hunt and he needs to fix himself. We're going to give him all the tools he can, and you know the Redskins pick up Foster. You know, it's possible. Absolutely.
Do you think they should pick him up? Do you think a team should pick him up? Give him another try.
I think that kid needs a lot of time to get his life straight, first of all, and then whatever it is after that, and then you examine him if I'm a general manager, but he needs to work on himself first and foremost.
Last thing for me, how much blame do you put on Aaron Rodgers for Mike McCarthy being fired?
Well, I put a good amount of blame on Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a guy that, look, he thinks he's got all the answers.
Yeah.
You know, he hears a play coming in and he doesn't like it, then he makes it his own play. And that's why, you know, you get all the scrambling and you get all the extension of the plays, and then we see that and we get enamored by it. But really what that is him not being structured enough or disciplined enough at times to trust the play that's in and run it. I know that they had problems with that before, you know. So, I mean, this guy, sometimes you can't even take a check down because he wants to throw it downfield. But you see the body start to break down. So I've had that attitude before. All right, I can extend any play. I'm more athletic than any of you defenders. I can run around and I can outrun you and I can slide for a first down. But eventually, you get a little bit slower. You take a hit in the pocket. All of a sudden, you're done for a month. You're not outrunning guys. You're taking shots. So now you have to be that quarterback in structure in the pocket, and he's not ready to do that. I heard you guys talking about Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels may be the best thing for Aaron Rodgers in terms of giving him a system that he can trust, but I don't think Aaron Rodgers wants that.
No,
Rodgers wants the power in terms of, I want to be able to do what I want to do and turn this play, whatever you call, into whatever play that I turn it into, and that's my best skill.
Oh, right.
But that skill is running out for
right.
him.
And he may have the ear of the CEO out there, and so whatever coach comes in may not have that power. He's the star, Teddy.
The star. It's like you got to bring in a coach. You got to bring in a coach, and the first question you ask him is, "Do you and Aaron, you think we'll get along?"
Yeah, right.
And a lot of coaches are going to say, "Yeah, we'll get along. I love Aaron Rodgers and all this and all that." But once you start calling plays, things change.
I wonder if he's got. Does he have like a former college coach or something like that that's in the NFL now? There's like already a pre-existing relationship where, you know, they could come together a lot easier than just, you know, not knowing the guy at all?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know. Since you're the big-time ESPN analyst, you should know all this stuff. Hey,
hey, plus, unlike you, he's got 17 people doing research right now. All right, Teddy, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Yeah, fellas, take care.
All right, see you.
Teddy Bruschi right here on OMF.